The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you for choosing to spend some time with me here this morning. So it's that time of year. It's the mulching time of year for me. I've done a lot of this previous weekend mulching and planting grass. And boy, it's just a never-ending. I have a lot of trees in my yard, so the grass gets pretty wrecked between the shade and then all the nuts that drop off. And yeah, but you know, I get out there and I work with a bunch of these high school boys, and it's fun because, you know, a little camaraderie, and then definitely just seeing the young guys, listening to their stories and what they're doing and everything. And they are these are all friends of my daughter's, including boyfriends, and I get them out there in the yard and pay them, and we do what would cost me a whole lot more if I had to pay a professional to do it, and then we have fun doing it. But it is a lot of work, and I am definitely sore on Mondays sometimes. But we're almost done. We mulched almost the whole thing. I say we actually didn't do much of it. I was moving grass coverings and laying seed and putting down soil and stuff like that, power washing the deck. All those springy things, because it's that time. It's my oldest daughter's last summer at home. I guess she probably would spend next summer with us. I think that's fairly typical after the first year of college, but who knows? I certainly hope she does, because I miss her already, even though she's not even gone yet. We've got graduation party season in full flex, and it's really neat to see. So we moved to Iowa in 2016, so 10 years ago. So all these kids that I'm going to graduation parties for, I've known since, well, a lot of them, I should say, not all. A lot of them are just high school friends, but there's a fair number of them that, I mean, they were little six-year-olds, and as much as it's fun, it also makes me feel old. But it's so neat to see them, and really, honestly, they're all doing really well, and they're all going to go do good stuff, and it's really exciting to see that next generation come up and kind of go off into the world. And I remember, of course, you know, graduation parties weren't really a thing. Like, graduation parties when I was in high school meant like your grandma and your aunts came over. But you know, now everything's bigger, right? It's nice. And you know, you see these kids, and they're beaming. They're off to college. They're taking that next step in life. It's an exciting time. And I'm sure a little bit worrisome, but I mean, it's always worrisome, right? I have to say, I guess my senior year was pretty, it was 1988, so we had kind of been sort of through the Cold War. It was clearly ending in 89, I think, 89 or 90. The Berlin Wall came down, and of course it was all over after that, as far as the Cold War and all that worry of nuclear winter. But, you know, there's wars and stuff now, and there's, you know, concerns about AI and there's stuff. But at the same time, I mean, you know, I think there's always, I mean, you know, in the 70s there was Vietnam. There's always something. The world's never really calm, but we persevere, and these kids they're entering into a whole different world, for sure, than we did. I mean, you know, obviously when I was in high school, my dad still had a rotary phone when I was in high school. Goodness, we didn't have, you know, computers, let alone cell phones with the entire compendium of the world's knowledge at your fingertips at all times, which, you know, it was obviously a blessing and a curse. The social media aspect of it is really destructive, I think, but I mean, that's just how they live. It's, if your kid's not on social media, congratulations. But I would say that we haven't found a way to, I mean, they just, I mean, they're isolated. They're not doing communication because kids don't get together and hang out like we used to, right? They don't all go over to someone's house and just hang out and talk and, you know, play games and stuff. That's just gone. And it's sad because that was such a great part. I mean, even sort of the, like, you know, we would go to the park and we would just hang out. Like, they don't know anything about, they wouldn't even know how to hang out if they didn't have their phones. Like, what do we do? But I guess I'm just an old fogey now, but I do think it's a part of humanity that is sad to have gone away, that just that ability to just go to the park with a jug of water and a football and hang out all day and play a couple games of football or basketball and just hang out and talk and just, you weren't bored because that's what you were doing. So over the weekend, I received, you know, I get all these emails that will send you studies because you can't, there's so many journals now. There are a couple of main orthopedic journals, the Journal of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, which is the one that I typically would read the most because it's what we call review articles. So they'll basically say, here's a bunch of different studies that have been done, and here's sort of how you put those together and use that information in your practice. Then there's the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery and the Journal of Shoulder and Elbow Surgery and Journal American Journal of Sports Medicine and, you know, a litany of others, Hip and Knee Society Journal. Those journals will publish the actual research articles. So the JAAOS reviews all these articles and kind of gives you an idea, like, this is kind of where literature is going right now. And the other one is the actual studies, so you can read the actual studies. Anyway, I got sent from a journal that I don't typically subscribe to, and it was really neat because what it did was finally, and I don't know why it took so long, but it was probably very expensive to do and not a lot of motivation to do it, but they looked on a cellular basis. So they took cartilage cells, and they were mouse cartilage cells, and they introduced them to, or they used steroids to put in the solution with these cells to see if there was any actual harm done. Because what you'll find is a lot of people say, oh, I don't want a cortisone. When I say steroids, it's cortisone. It was triamcinolone, which is the one that we typically use in the knee, at least the one I typically use. I think most people, there's depomedrol as well, but most of the time it's a triamcinolone. You don't worry about all those words. It's a cortisone shot. So, you know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, well, I heard cortisone is bad for your joints. And I always say, you know, I don't know 100%. I can tell you that I've had cortisone injections in my shoulder 6 or 8 times before my surgery, and I think maybe once after. I've had multiple cortisone injections in my knees. I've had cortisone, I've had trigger finger before, had a cortisone for that. I've had carpal tunnel, I've had cortisone and surgery for that. So I'm not afraid to use cortisone on myself. And what I always tell people is if it damages your cartilage, it doesn't do it at a rate that we can see, like, oh my gosh, I started giving this patient cortisone and all of a sudden their cartilage is gone. Usually you give cortisone, sometimes they'll give it once, and then sometimes you'll give it, like, if somebody has arthritis and they're not ready for a knee replacement, I'll give it every 3 months for as long as they are happy to keep doing that and as long as it works. The only people that I've ever seen, you know, where you saw this, where they had had cortisone injections and the cartilage was really bad, is when we had patients in the former, from the former Soviet Union, when we were in New York doing my residency. And but those patients, there were no knee replacements in the former Soviet Union. Like, they didn't have that operation because, you know, communism. They would have it instead of, like, for 2 or 3 years and then, okay, I'm ready for my knee replacement. They would have it for 25, 30 years. Like, that's all they could get. And they were some very deformed knees. Their knees had worn out so badly that you couldn't believe what you were seeing. But again, you know, that's just not at all what happens in America. But this new study has shown, I hate to say definitively because nothing's ever definitive, but has shown with excellent data that cortisone does not actually harm the cells in your cartilage. And so, you know, I would say that a lot of, and I'm not saying anybody is wrong about anything, but where you get the thought process that's out there, oh, cortisone is very bad for the health of your joint, you get that from, and I have respect for people that do this, but from practitioners that are outside the normal medical system. And, you know, again, I'm not bagging on them, but that's sort of like what they're told in their school is, oh, it's bad. Now, they don't have any real research to show it, but they just say, well, you know, it's bad. But we now have shown that it's not bad in my clinical experience over 20 years, and I'm going to guess I've given between 15 and 20,000 cortisone injections because it's just a super common thing. I gave 3 this morning before I got over here. You know, it's just all the time. And, you know, I've been doing this 20 years. So if you give, you know, start doing the math on that, it's thousands, tens, 10,000 plus easy, and probably 15 to 20. I've seen a couple reactions where people would get hives or something like that, but I've never seen an infection in my practice. I've never seen anybody have a real, real bad reaction to it. So, and lots of people get lots and lots of pain relief from cortisone. I give it for partial thickness rotator cuff tears. I give it for hip bursitis, hip arthritis, knee arthritis. You know, it does weaken tendons, and we've known that for a long time, that you don't want to give a cortisone injection, for instance, in the Achilles tendon. If you have Achilles tendonitis, you do not give a cortisone injection because it has an adverse effect on the tendons. And we've known that. That's not news. And I think maybe from some of the other practitioners that talk about, you know, practitioners who are not doctors in the traditional sense, they either are, you know, homeopathic or chiropractic or something like that. And there's a lot of focus on holistic health, which I think is fantastic. I support all that. But sometimes it's difficult to integrate the two. And so it may be that the data that showed that tendons don't do really well with cortisone. Now, again, that's variable as well. It has been shown recently that in rotator cuff tears, patients that have had multiple cortisone injections don't do as well as patients who haven't. But then, you know, okay, well, who's going to get multiple cortisone injections? People with rotator cuff tears that aren't getting better, right? Has nothing to do with a one-time injection for one person who's got a little rotator cuff tendonitis and they get better and that's their treatment. Those are very separate categories. But so I get nervous if I start, like I'll give knee cortisone as long as it works, no problem, every 3 months for years, because it's not going to be 20 years. It's going to be 3 or 4 at the most. And then patient, you know, it's going to kind of stop helping, and then patients will get their knee replacement. But I've really started to pull back on how much I use it on rotator cuffs. I will use it after a rotator cuff tear repair if the patient gets stiff, and that has been shown to be safe, that the one-time injection, maybe two, after a rotator cuff repair if you have a patient with a stiff shoulder. But just, you know, going out, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, I don't do that. If I've given three, and now, okay, you also take the patient into consideration. I mean, if the patient is 85 and says, I'm not having surgery, please inject my shoulder. I don't care what it does, because it's either going to help me or it's not, but I'm not having surgery. Okay, fine. No problem. I'll do that forever. But if you're 46 and you've come to me and you've got a little tearing in your rotator cuff, but it's not a big tear, but it's not, you're not really ready for surgery, after 2 or 3 injections, I might just say, hey, listen, I'm not comfortable giving you those anymore. And that opens up, well, what are the other options? Well, there's platelet-rich plasma, which we've talked about before. We do offer that in my clinic. Unfortunately, it's expensive and it's not covered by insurance, but what that does is we spin your blood down and we take the plasma, platelet-rich plasma. It's plasma. It has lots of platelets, and it's very simply named. And it has a profound anti-inflammatory effect. Maybe it makes the tissue a little bit more robust. That's not really been shown, but theoretically, maybe it does. But it's certainly not going to have the harm to the tendon that cortisone injection would. Now, again, listen to what I'm saying. Cortisone does not harm your cartilage in your joint, but if you apply it to a tendon over and over, it can. And then high stress tendons like the Achilles tendon, the quadriceps tendon, things like that, we're not giving cortisone for that, because every once in a while you hear a story of somebody who got an Achilles tendon injected with cortisone and it ruptured afterwards. And, you know, did the cortisone cause it, or did it just cover up the pain? I don't know. I don't want to be trying to help the patient work through that. I don't want to be saying, well, I'm not sure if it was actually the cortisone injection that I gave you a week before your Achilles tendon popped, and then it popped. You know, I just don't want to be in that position. But so there is platelet-rich plasma, which we do offer. In the knee, of course, there's the viscosupplementation injections, which are the lubricating hyaluronic acid, which is, or quote unquote, chicken comb. Used to use chicken combs in the process of creating those. I don't know if they even do or not anymore. I haven't researched that recently, but, and there are stem cells. Now we don't do stem cells in our clinic. I think most orthopedic surgeons have gone away from stem cells, and it's really more, not because they weren't promising, but because, you know, when you look at the overall cost involved, you know, some of these stem cells, some patients are paying, I mean, it's thousands of dollars, and some patients are getting stem cells, you know, for $10,000. And yeah, I mean, look, if you got $10,000 and it doesn't bother you at all to spend it, go get stem cells. It's probably going to be fine and help you out. But It's not going to regrow cartilage. That's not been shown. It's not going to be a permanent solution anymore. You know, you can have people who say, oh, I had one stem cell injection and my knee hasn't hurt for the last 4 years. Well, I got plenty of patients who can say that about cortisone that's covered by insurance too. It's just complex. It's none of this stuff is easy. We try to do, of course, as physicians, we try to do the very best for our patients without having them, you know, have to really spend any more money than they have to. We offer the PRP, but I don't go around suggesting it a lot to patients because I really don't want people to feel like I'm pressuring them or saying, hey, this is really great. You know, you got to do this. But we have it. And so if patients come in and they say, I want a platelet-rich plasma injection, I've given a couple in the knees and they've tended to turn out quite well. And, you know, like I said, it's something that it's, I think it's on the order of $500 or $800. So it's not cheap at all, but it's not $10,000 either. So definitely have patients who come in and they're just like, oh, I just don't want cortisone. And, you know, it's hard to say, I mean, you know, and I can now say, well, there was a study that came out. And I mean, that typically that kind of stuff doesn't change people's minds because people will come in with fixed opinions about certain types of treatments. Cortisone is one of those that people come in with fixed opinions on often. And I would just say that I've had plenty. I've given thousands. The most recent data says it's very safe and effective for arthritis pain or knee pain, hip pain, stuff like that. For a rotator cuff, I'll give a couple, maybe three, and then we're going to have to figure out something else because it over time probably isn't good because tendons are different than cartilage. You know, and that's another thing, you know. You got to understand that the same treatment can do one thing in one area of your body and one thing in another area of your body. So just a little recap of some recent literature regarding corticosteroid injections or steroid injections and their utility and usefulness in orthopedics. And I hope you learned a little something. I hope you're having a wonderful early summer. Please get out and enjoy some sunshine. Get that sunshine on your skin and get some vitamin D. And, you know, if you're going to be out forever, you can put some sunscreen on. But go out and get 10, 15 minutes of good sunshine in your eyes and on your, don't stare at the sun, we know this. But getting sunlight in your eyes and on your skin is really good for you, and walking is really good for you. So put on a tank top and go, and some shorts and go get a good walk. Sit in your backyard with your shirt off or something and enjoy this weather and the healthy goodness that it brings to us. So with that, you have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.